The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the virtual radio row for the Showtime pay-per-view Charlo doubleheader. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is real. At Aaron is blitzed. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on Twitch and comment there. And joining us, as he does every week, although different times, just depends on when he's available because he's such a huge star, Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle, Houston Sports Show. Once again from a strip bar, apparently.
Man, what is going on in the background?
It's not when I'm available. It's when y'all are available. I mean, are y'all on every day?
We're on Monday through Friday.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay, yeah. My bad.
But we might also have other guests who are kind of important. So, you know.
No. When did we have that?
I just appreciate the opportunity, you know. That's all. What's going on, fellas?
Well, it's been sad times here in Houston sports, Jerome. And I like, obviously, another ass performance by the Texans. The Astros are completely uninspiring, and all we can talk about is should the Rockets trade their best players or not. Give me some hope around here.
See,
can you do that?
This is the thing about you youngsters. You know, even though you're a 40-year-old man who's taking testosterone because you ain't got it no more.
I'm loaded up. I got it now, buddy.
You new to town jokers who've only been here a decade or so, y'all don't appreciate this beautiful run of excellence that the city of Houston is enjoying. It's like complaining about the Rockets, you know, who are win a playoff round and don't win the next one, lose to the Lakers. Complain about the Astros who are headed to the playoffs and the Texans who are back-to-back AFC South champs. Yeah. It's like, these are the good old days. This is Houston. You better accept it and be proud and happy and pleased.
Yeah, I guess I'm missing out on that. I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, I see, because that's because you thinking championship. You thinking, you know, trophies and parades. And we don't even aspire to that here in Houston. It's too hot for parades.
That's
most
true.
Of the time,
I hate parades. I will say that. I'm an admitted parade hater.
We're not even trying to get that. We want to throw an indoor party for a team that loses in the AFC Championship game. That's all we want. We've done it a couple times. That's what we long for. We haven't had one in, what has it been now? 30? Man, it's been 40 years now, has it, Fred? You were there. That's a little before my time.
I wasn't at the actual.
Fred remembers it like it was yesterday.
But no, it's where we are now is so different than where we were a couple of years ago. But you know what? The only real difference is the Astros. I mean, the Texans aren't any different than they've been every year for however many years, right? I mean, that's who they are. That's where they've been. The Rockets aren't any different than where they've been every year for how many ever years. The Astros, though, are not a legitimate World Series contender. I mean, they could win a World Series, but it's going to take several miracles for that to happen.
They can't win. They're done.
Miracles are not going to happen. I say that based strictly on the general rule of anybody can win a World Series that gets into the playoffs. Not that they have. They enter the playoffs with the least likely potential of winning World Series, except for the team that opens against the Dodgers in the National League, probably. But yeah, it is sad baseball and sports times here, but it's all about the Astros because, man, they can't hit. Their best players are not their best players anymore. Their best pitchers are not pitching at all. Your best starter, Verlander, gone. Your best reliever, Osuna, gone. You know, your young rookie of the year guy from me last year, you know, gone. And Jose Altuve, he's just some dude named Jose, right? He ain't Altuve no more. He's just Jose. It's terrible.
Well, and it just begs the question, if you don't have trash cans, maybe you can't hit.
It's not that. And that's an easy thing to go to. And I'm not even arguing with people that might be something.
Well, but how do you defend it? That's the thing.
Altuve wasn't Jose before the trash cans. You know what I'm saying? He was Altuve before the trash can season. He's been great. He didn't get great because they were picking up signs. And I mean, I still believe in Jose. I still believe in Altuve. I worship at the Altuve little tiny statue.
Well, maybe it's the fact that he finally got paid.
No, he got paid. He got paid a year ago.
No, so. But it kicked in. I mean, the big money kicked in this year. So
yeah.
And suddenly he's not very good. No,
but you know me. You know me, Fred. I don't believe the money. I don't follow the money trail on anybody. Hell, I know we can't mention him because I didn't want to talk about it either because it is ridiculous. But you know, I'm already hearing people like, well, you know, number four got paid. What are you going to get now? Like, just stop. Stay out of people's wallet. Let's deal with what they do on the field.
Well, he was sucking long before they paid him. So, you know, I mean, that's...
I know. He's terrible. Right. I know.
No, he's just been very average over his last 10 games. So...
Okay.
Yeah, go read my article. I actually backed it up.
I said I'm not even going there. I'm not even going to debate that. It's like you've got Houston sportsitis.
Let me ask you a question, Jerome.
You can't get rid of it.
Is Deshaun Watson still getting better? It's a simple yes or no question. Is he getting better?
Yeah, hell yes. Period.
Okay, we disagree completely.
Well, wait a minute. But AJ, I said I wasn't going to talk about this, and y'all said y'all didn't want to talk
about
it.
No, but you know what? The people want your take, Jerome.
AJ, you say the same thing every year, two games in. Every year since he's been here. And so it's like a broken record. He's still not getting better.
Okay. Well, then
he's no good, and he'll never be.
No. That's not the case. It's not that he's no good. It's just he's not elite, which is what he's paid like.
I don't care what he's paid. It has no effect on my life. Right?
Well, no, but it has an effect on the Texans' life.
No, it really doesn't. But
the salary cap's no thing anymore. Is that a new rule?
No, the salary cap is not a thing. The salary cap doesn't keep you from doing anything they want to do. It's totally up to you. But that's a whole different discussion. That has nothing to do with Deshaun Watson. No, the salary cap is a figment of your imagination in terms of what it means to a football team. But, yeah, Deshaun Watson is getting better. He's improving. He always has. So you're saying he was better as a rookie than he is today? Come on.
The statistics would say that.
Yeah.
Has he ever had a better six-game run than he had his rookie year, Jerome?
Jerome,
has he ever had a better six-game run than those six games his rookie year?
Okay, fine. I'm not going to debate that with you.
It's not a debate. It's a statistical fact. His best six-game run of his entire career came as a rookie.
His best six-game run?
Well, he only played six games that year, if you recall, because he got hurt.
Right, but I mean that.
Has he ever been better than he was his rookie year?
If you don't understand that he's better now than he was then, you don't know a damn thing about football. And I know
you
do.
I guess I don't.
You know more about radio than you do about football. So this is good radio for you to say the guy was better 3 years ago than he is today, which is just that's just not true, and you know it's not. But you make the good radio argument, so I'm not. As I told you, I'm not even going to debate that.
But you know why, Jerome? You know I love you, but I actually did the research on this, and I'm texting it to you right now. And you maybe read that, and then you tell me.
Just
no,
stop.
No, not just stop. How about you actually do some research for once instead of just saying, he's better. Yeah.
Really, Fred?
Yeah. You're just saying he's better. What are you basing that on? I'm basing it on numbers. I'm basing it on what he's done over his last 10 games. What are you basing it on?
You're basing it on what he's done over his last 10 games.
Compared to the rest of his career, which was better. So you can't tell me the guy's getting better.
Well, then I'm not going to argue with you. I'm saying he's getting worse. And so they need to get rid of him.
No, that's not.
I agree with you.
Well, they can't get rid of him now.
But that's not the point.
Yeah, they can.
The point is the point isn't getting rid of him. The point is that you can't sit here and tell me he's better now than he was in his first year because he's not.
Why are y'all arguing with me over this when I said I want to argue with you? I agree with you. He's not any good.
No, that's not the argument, Jerome.
But wait a minute. He wasn't elite as a rookie?
He was elite, yeah.
Oh, he used to be elite, but now he's not anymore?
See, Breeze, comma, Drew.
See, Brady, comma, Tom.
What?
See, Carson, comma, Wentz, comma, Carson. Same thing happened to him, man. It's almost a parallel what's going on with those two guys.
Tom Brady wasn't great as a rookie or second year or third year or fourth year.
Well, he won Tom Brady Super Bowl.
He won a Super Bowl as a rookie.
No, he didn't win a Super Bowl as a rookie.
Do your research.
So he didn't win a Super Bowl as a rookie. And when he won a Super Bowl, he wasn't anywhere near great. Not even close to. He was barely good.
Well,
he was clutch, but he was not great.
Jerome, Carson Wentz improving?
And you know I would never say anything disparaging about Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr.
Would you say Carson Wentz is improving?
Well, no, Carson Wentz is not improving.
Why is he any different than Deshaun? Who do you think was better statistically last year, Deshaun Watson or Carson Wentz?
Listen, AJ.
With literally a bunch of homeless dudes for receivers.
I thought y'all were going to talk about this.
Well, people wanted to hear your thoughts, and your thoughts are freaking crazy.
It was Brady's second year, by the way.
People didn't YouTube it. Well, duh. You looked it up? Thank you. I know. Well, I already know these things. it's simple research. It's not, and he wasn't good. He wasn't great. He wasn't even.
No, he wasn't. They won because of their defense and their running game. I don't have to look that up. You need to look up Watson.
You're the one that brought him up. I didn't bring him up. You brought up Thomas. You brought up him.
Yeah.
And Drew Brees wasn't great as a rookie or a second year guy or a third year guy or a fourth year guy. He didn't get great till much later.
He was pretty good in San Diego. He was pretty good. I bet you his numbers when San Diego. Here's some research
elite.
For you.
He wasn't elite.
I bet his numbers in San Diego are better than. Yeah, you don't need to research because you're just talking out of your ass.
I don't need the research to know that he wasn't elite, Freddie.
Guess who's not?
I already know this answer. But guess who's
not elite? Deshaun Watson. That's what we're talking about. He's not elite. He hasn't been for a while.
I didn't say he was. You're the one that brought that word up. You're the one that brought Brady up. You're the one that brought Breeze up.
You're the one who said he's better now. What do you have to back that up?
That's all I said was he's better now, and you decided you want to talk about Breeze
and
Brady.
No.
And you've been proven wrong about those.
First off, no, because the point is, are you going to listen, or are you just going to keep trying to talk over me because you know you're wrong? This is your go-to, Jerome. When you haven't done, when you don't know what you're talking about, you just talk over me. That's what you're doing.
So you're just going to keep yelling. You're doing the yelling, Fred. Let me talk for.
No, you've been talking the whole time. Why don't you let me make my point?
I've been talking the whole time, so you haven't said anything? Go ahead.
The Breeze-Brady thing is they're not as good as they were. That's the comparison. Watson is not as good as he was. The better comparison's Carson Wentz. They've gone down the same path. Doesn't mean he can't turn it around. Nobody's saying he can't be great again. But he hasn't been. And I sent you all the research. It's right there for you to look at. If you can look at that and tell me he's better now than he was for that 6-game stretch or for the 9-game stretch to start last season, when he was an MVP candidate, he's not that player anymore. He doesn't mean he can't get back to it. That's the point. And that's all right there in black and white for you. Now you can go.
You're done?
Yeah, I'm done. I have nothing else to add to it. Let's hear what you have to say.
All I said was the guy is better now than he was as a rookie. You just brought it up, and I didn't even mention it. You did. You're like, but he was an MVP guy just a year ago today, right?
Yeah.
Or for that 9-game stretch.
Up until
you said it. Yeah. You said it.
I did.
You said it. So you really think that was he better as a rookie?
Yeah, he was. The numbers wait, back it up.
You didn't even let me finish the sentence.
Go ahead.
You keep you're talking.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm waiting for you. Go.
Every time I start talking, you cut me off. Was he better as a rookie or in that 9-game stretch to start last season?
He was better as a rookie. And the reason he wasn't an MVP candidate because he only played 6 games. Four of those six games, right, he had elite games.
Again, Freddie, as I told you from the start, you arguing with yourself. I said, if you think he was better as a rookie than he was last year in the first 9 games, or as he will be this season, then fine. I'm not going to argue with you.
I'm not
going to argue with you. I'm like, okay, fine.
But so I mean,
why are you arguing with me when I'm telling you, okay, fine.
All right, I want to know how you can tell me he's better now.
And you still want to argue more when I say, okay, fine.
No, I just want to know why you think he's better now. What do you I don't get it.
Fred, he's not better now. Okay, is that better? You feel better now?
Fair enough.
Okay, cool. He's not better now. He was better when he didn't know the league. He hadn't played. He didn't barely to play. He was better then when he had better players around him than he is now. All of that, that's fine. He was better as a rookie. He was electric as a rookie. Don't get me wrong. There's no question he was special as a rookie. And there's no debating that he hasn't been great in the first 2 games. It's not even debatable. So that's what I'm saying. There's nothing to debate. I think he's better now than he was then, and I think we will see that during the season. And we're 2 games into a 16-game season. But if he plays like this for the rest of it, there's nothing. But I'm saying there's nothing to debate. You think he's not as good. I think he is as good because, and I didn't even bring it up. You did. He showed you in that 9-game stretch at the beginning of last season of how good he is and how good he can be and what he's bringing. So, yes, I think he's better now than he was as a rookie. He hadn't showed it on the field, and that's all that matters. That's why there's nothing to debate. You're not wrong about he hadn't showed it on the field.
All right, man.
You understand?
Make sure you tell everybody this on Sunday mornings on your own show when you could do that. That's me telling you to pitch your stuff.
That Fred was right. Yeah, Sunday morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, Fred is right. It's from 8 to 10. That's the name of the show. That'll be the name of this week's show. Fred was right, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Y'all are very sensitive. For people who didn't want to argue this with you, y'all are hilarious.
Fair enough.
It's okay.
Fair enough.
But it's okay. I'll leave you with this. All I said was, I think he's better. I'm not going to argue about it. You know, it's not worth arguing because it'll play itself out.
Because you don't have anything to back it up. That's why it's not worth arguing.
But every year y'all say the same stuff.
No, you know what? Hey, wait. You're fair about the two games in thing. You're fair about that.
Yeah, exactly. Last year you said the exact same thing. We had the exact same debate. And now you're telling me after 9 games he was the greatest going in MVP candidate. So
then he regressed
significantly over his last 10 games.
So I was right then. I'm just wrong now.
I'm not saying you're wrong. He's not better right now than he was as a rookie.
The difference between us is I'm telling you I might be wrong, and y'all are saying it's just absolutely impossible. A year ago, you were saying the exact same thing, and you were wrong.
I don't think I said the exact same thing because I've always been higher on Watson than AJ has, and maybe even you.
Oh, maybe I mix up AJ. I know that's AJ's. That's his wheelhouse. So, and I'm sure I can find where AJ said. But AJ also, you know, he used to think that, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick was better than Cam Newton. So anything's possible.
Listen, all I'm saying is you guys who act like,
this is enough of this, man.
Like
this is enough of
like
this.
Deshaun is a top 5 guy. You need to really check what's going on and stop just believe. He ain't Clemson Deshaun anymore, and you guys need to get that past.
I didn't, but you keep saying you guys.
Anybody who thinks Deshaun is still a top tier quarterback. That's all I'm. That's who I was talking to.
Okay, why yelling at me then?
I'm not yelling.
Yeah, that's enough of this, guys. Thanks, Jerome. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah.
You guys get so worked up.
All I want to know is, what are you basing it on? You couldn't tell me. Yeah, that's all.
I don't like when you guys fight.
I fought with you, too.
I just don't fight back. I just say, okay.
And nobody's, and by the way, F you, texter. But nobody says anything about that Watson's not going to be good. But to say that he's better now than he was as a rookie, I mean, the numbers don't back that up. They just don't. He's on a 10-game, and everybody has stretches like this. Aaron Rodgers had it last year. The difference is I know Aaron Rodgers can pull out of it. And, you know, I think it's fair to be concerned. If he comes out and throws for 400 and puts up a 95 QBR against the Steelers, great. So, anyway, what do we have?
Harry's.
Oh, yeah, Harry's Razors. Love me some Harry's Razors. Because, you know, when I'm frustrated with somebody's argument being really stupid and I need to relax, there's nothing like a good shave. And you're not going to get a better one than you do with Harry's. And they've got their sharpest blades ever. And guess what? Unlike some other razor companies, they're not charging you more for their product improvements. Their blades are still as low as $2 each. And you can find them at all the drug stores, grocery stores. And if you like to shop online, which most of us do these days, you can get a trial set for just $3 when you use code KFNC at checkout on harrys.com. They confidently stand behind 100% quality guarantee on harrys.com. So guess what? You can get your $3 back if you don't like it. How about that? So no risk. Harry's is available wherever you shop. You can get Harry's sharpest blades ever in big box drug and grocery stores near you. Just head on over to the grooming aisle. And if you like to shop online, Harry's has a great offer for listeners of the show. New customers get $5 off a Harry's trial set with code KFNC at harrys.com. Includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Don't forget to use code KFNC at checkout and give Harry's sharper blades a try.
Listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the virtual radio row for the Showtime pay-per-view Charlo doubleheader. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So, this guy is trying to make Jerome's point for him, and I'll read it, and then I'll tell you why I don't agree with him. Says, I agree with Jerome. I believe Watson is better now than his rookie year. I'm basing mine by the eye test, not the numbers. Seattle and Patriots game was top-notch rookie season. Buffalo and the game he got kicked in the face, those were top-notch as well. Actually, Buffalo wasn't. He had one drive in that game. And it wasn't just the Seattle and the Patriots game. It was the Chiefs game. He had four games. And I'll tell you what, go back and listen to the first segment from yesterday. Because I did do all the research, and I did break it down for you about as simple as it can be done. And it's also on SportsMap. So I'm just going to leave it at that. You can go read that. I don't want to do this anymore.
I do think it's fascinating that people are seeing Carson Wentz's first two games, which have been bad, and saying that he's regressing, and he may be. But when you look at his stats last year versus Deshaun's, and remember that Deshaun had one of the three best wide receivers in the game, and Carson Wentz had like five homeless dudes to throw to. He had like the guy last year, they could have done that thing from the movie Invincible where they had like a bartender come out and catch passes for the Eagles. That could have literally happened last year. And Carson Wentz had better numbers than Deshaun last year. It's really easy to overlook.
I'm pretty sure they're having the same discussion about him in Philadelphia right now, though.
I'm sure they are.
That he's getting a lot of the blame.
And I think those two guys right now are a little bit parallel. And Jerome is right that it's only two games. But when you go back to last year and you look at his last several games, man, Deshaun's just not inspiring any sort of...
That was my point, was that just... And it does seem that there's a line of demarcation. It was up until the Ravens game last year. And that was coming off the London game where he was fantastic against the Jaguars. I mean, he just escaped everything. He made all these plays. And we talked about this. He was like in the top three for MVP at that time. And since that game, and he had been elite four times in nine games. And since that game, it's been 10 games. He's been elite once. And you know, and I mean, I didn't go looking for specific numbers to back that up. I mean, I had that theory, and the numbers I chose backed it up. But I could go to Pro Football Focus and probably do the same thing. I just don't use Pro Football Focus. So, you know, and that's okay. I think that doesn't mean he can't get better, and I think he will get better. I mean, part of it was the teams he played here, and part of that 10-game stretch was two games against the Chiefs, a game against the Bills, who have a great defense, the Ravens. I mean, he's played some tough defenses during that. You can acknowledge that, but still say overall, you can't look at how he's playing now and say it's better than it was when he was a rookie. You just can't. You always make fun of people for that. But that's as good a six-game stretch as I've seen from a young quarterback not named Mahomes or Jackson.
I mean, it was incredible.
You know?
But it lasted six games.
But and maybe he knows more now, but it's not showing up on the field. That's all. I just want to see it show up on the field. I want him to do well. All right, that's it. Deshaun Watson does not get mentioned for the rest of the week. We'll bitch about him on Monday.
See.
Well, I'm not mentioning it. You want to get into it? If you want to ask Brad Powers about him or Taylor McCarg, be my guest.
I don't think they care.
Oh, well, they should care about Lightstream.
They should.
Because, guys, if your credit card's got a little out of control here and you've got good credit and you want to save some money, how about a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream? Lightstream's fixed-rate credit card consolidation loans start at low as 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit, lower than the average credit card interest rate, which is over 19%. So I don't know what, you know, I don't know what you're paying on your credit cards, but if it's over 19% and you're getting 5.95% APR, you know, I'm not great at math, but isn't that pretty good? You could save thousands, man, with absolutely no fees. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000. Applications 100% online. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees, and that's exactly what they deliver. Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Fred. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the virtual radio row for the Showtime pay-per-view Charlo doubleheader. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And I don't think this will be nearly as heated, but who knows? Maybe Brad's going to want to argue with us. Brad Powers, who is...
Crank it up!
A genius, bradpowersports.com. Twitter, bradpowers7. What's going on, man?
I'm not sure I'm comfortable with the genius. I'm not sure I'd be talking to you guys if I was.
Oh, that's true. You would big time us.
Yeah, you'd be on a real show.
And you know what?
I didn't mean that. I just
honestly, meant, I wouldn't
you know,
blame you.
If I was a genius, I'd probably pick more winners than losers more often.
I wouldn't blame you if you big timed us. If you became a real genius, that would be. I mean, that's the move.
But you know what, Brad? One of the things we always talk about in poker: decisions, not outcomes. And I think a lot of times, when you feel like your analysis is right and you make the play and it doesn't work out, doesn't mean you're not a genius. You know, it really is the thought process that goes into it. I mean, nobody puts in more work than you. I mean, you're a walking encyclopedia when it comes to this stuff. And of course, kids don't know what encyclopedias are. How about this? You're a walking Wikipedia. Is that better?
Yeah, I like that.
Well, let's get into the games. And there's one game on the docket tonight. Lines moved, quite a bit, 3 points anyway, from UAB -4.5 over South Alabama to now -7.5. Why the big jump, and which side you lean in at this number?
Well, I think first off, that early 4.5 number, just a bad number. I mean, pure power rating for me has a 7.5, so it's right on the number as far as I'm concerned. I think it's more of an in-game live opportunity because you got a couple of inexperienced quarterbacks making starts here, and you got Tyler Johnson's out for UAB, so the backup's going to make the first start for the Blazers there. Chance Levertich for South Alabama is going to get the start over Desmond Trotter for the Jags. So to me, I got a good inclination that one or two of the quarterbacks, if they both don't have it, then I think it's the under. If one has the advantage over the other in the first couple possessions, then I think that's the way to go. So in-game live wagering for me tonight.
UTSA was supposed to be an underdog to Memphis. Instead, thanks to COVID, they're a 6.5-point favorite against Middle Tennessee. And I like UTSA here under a touchdown. Their offense, they're going to look to run the ball. And if you remember what Army did to Middle Tennessee, that's not a good sign for Middle Tennessee. And UTSA has done a really great job of getting after the quarterback. I think they're top of college football in pressures, and I think second in sacks. They're getting after guys. And Middle Tennessee State's offense has looked really awful so far. What are you seeing on this one?
Well, I mean, I would have said preseason that UTSA, if they were hosting Middle Tennessee, probably be a home underdog, and now they're laying a touchdown. So I'm not really anxious to bet into that, although I have downgraded Middle Tennessee more than any team in the country so far, deservedly so, after two blowout losses. I lean more over. I just like the tempo that UTSA's running. I know they only put 24 on the board last week, but, again, I do expect them to have some success against Middle Tennessee's defense, and then vice versa. I mean, sooner or later, you would expect Middle Tennessee to have some success offensively. I know they can't figure out the quarterback position, even though we thought they had one of the better quarterbacks in Conference USA coming back. But I lean over, again, not a high-value pick for me.
I only got one more nonsense game, and then we'll get into these Power 5 matchups, and we'll actually talk some big boy football. But interested in your thoughts on Charlotte, Georgia State. I feel like the sharp money is on Georgia State. Moved it from a plus one to a minus three. I don't know. I mean, Georgia, that's about where I see Georgia State. But Charlotte just seems like they're such a mess right now. It feels like with COVID and everything else that they're dealing with, it'd be really hard to put any kind of money on Charlotte, right?
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen that reflected in the market with all the line movement going Georgia State's way. And I agree with it. I mean, you had a Charlotte team that had to cancel its football game against North Carolina last week. Didn't have enough offensive linemen to safely play. It hasn't been a massive amount of players testing positive, but a lot of it's the dreaded contact tracing, which is, I think, going to become more and more significant as we move along this football season. On top of it, quarterback Chris Reynolds, I mean, he was going to be out for the North Carolina game with an upper body injury. Not sure that he'll be able to go in this one. So, to me, I'm not afraid to back a Georgia State team that looked pretty damn good last week in a near outright upset over UL Lafayette.
Boomer Sooner, 27.5 right now, hosting Kansas State. And Kansas State, it's kind of been highly, you know, publicized, their issues with COVID and the fact that they haven't practiced in basically forever. 27.5, it seems like Oklahoma can probably call it here, but with everything new that they've got in place, do you think it's going to be tough for them to get over that number?
Yeah, I think all the COVID issues for Kansas State's priced into this line. I mean, this is only the second time Kansas State has been getting this many points in any game since the early 1990s, right when Bill Snyder started to crank it up there in Manhattan. So, I mean, again, if you're looking to fade Kansas State, and know fully well you're paying a premium at this point. Pure power rating for me would say Kansas State is the play here, but again, I am concerned to see how banged up that they actually are. And then, you know, with regards to Oklahoma, they do have revenge for last year. And if they beat them outright as a 23.5-point underdog, I'm sure if they give an opportunity, Lincoln Riley wouldn't be afraid to lay it on there here. But again, I think it's already factored into the 4-touchdown line. I didn't play it.
Florida, normally a team that we say, "Ooh, I don't want to play them as a big favorite because they just have a hard time getting separation because their offense is bad." But I don't think this is the same old Florida. It looks like Florida is going to be an offensive team, and I guess this number will boil down to: do you believe that Ole Miss and Kiffin are they going to get things together early, or is it going to take them a little while? 13.5 you can get if you're willing to lay it with Florida. What are you thinking on that matchup?
What I did bet early in the week in an early number was the under, because I do expect Ole Miss to maybe struggle a little bit out of the gates. And I'll be quite frank, I'm not a Kyle Trask fan. He's the Florida quarterback. Everyone's talking him up like he's a top five quarterback in the country. I don't think that's the case whatsoever. So I did bet the under at a very early number. right now, if you told me I could get the full 14, I'd probably lean Ole Miss, although I'm not particularly wild about betting on first-year head coaches that, who are 5-10 against the spread so far, and a couple of those covers were FCS teams, so I'm not sure you can necessarily count them. So, you know, 13.5 is a really tough number, but if you told me I was getting 14, just a slight lean on the Rams.
I think maybe an underrated competitive matchup here this week is going to be Kentucky and Auburn. And when you go with name brands, it's real easy to say, oh, I'll give 7.5 with Auburn at home against Kentucky. But Kentucky looks like they've got something, and we don't really know what Auburn's going to look like. Is this a chance to find some value in Big Blue?
I took him and bet him, especially plus the hook there, plus the 7.5. And you might be able to find a better number later, like you mentioned. I think betting public's going to want to lay it with Auburn, but I think it's the one very rare instance where, I mean, if you took a look at it the last 30, 40 years, I'm sure you wouldn't be able to say this too often. But I do think that's the case in this game. Kentucky has the advantage at the line of scrimmage over Auburn. Kentucky, not Kentucky basketball, Kentucky football with an edge here. And I mean, I think they have one of the best offensive lines in all of college football. Auburn just lost a couple of high draft picks on the defensive line. Auburn lost four starters on the offensive line. So, and I also think too many people are downgrading the quarterback position. I get it. Lynn Bowden was, a dynamite athlete. He could play quarterback, running back, wide receiver. But reality is, Terry Wilson, the quarterback, was expected to be the starter last year. Led him in 2018 to 10 wins in SEC play. So add that up for me. I'll take the Wildcats plus 7.5.
I wanted to ask you about Oklahoma State, West Virginia. 7 points for Oklahoma State. Did not look good last week and damn near blew it against Tulsa, but no Spencer Sanders. I don't know if he's playing or not. Do they improve with the game under their belt? And because that number feels like it's right where it should be based on what we saw last week.
Yeah, and I think the line also is reflecting Spencer Sanders to be more doubtful than probable at the current 7 number. I think that the movement that we've already seen on West Virginia has reflected that. Oh, boy. I just think it's a bad matchup for Oklahoma State's offensive line that really struggled last week. Remember, they lost three key guys in July and August that were expected to be in the 2-deep, but now they're taking on, in my opinion, an underrated West Virginia defensive line. Yeah, I think 7, I would still lean towards the underdog at this point. And I get a little bit of a free roll because if Spencer Sanders is indeed ruled out, I would expect this number to maybe drop yet another point.
This Texas team, if Tom Herman can't win with the talent he has at Texas right now, Tom Herman's not the coach to be at Texas. They probably have the most talented team they've had in some time. They're playing a Texas Tech team that almost lost to Houston Baptist. I mean, this feels like a spot. 17.5 is obviously a big number. But Texas, I mean, they could have won 100-0 a week ago. What are you thinking in this Texas Tech game?
Yeah, man, 17.5 is a tough number to lay. Red Raiders have had several issues with COVID and fall camp. Texas hasn't hardly at all of all the name brand teams. You're right, Houston Baptist should have beaten Texas Tech. I mean, to put in perspective, that would have been the third largest upset in the history of college football as a 40-point underdog. And it was legitimate, nothing fluky in that game. Houston Baptist literally should have won. Man, but 17.5 is just, I guess I'm just not there yet trusting Texas. Specifically, I'm not there yet trusting Tom Herman in a big favorite role. I mean, go back to his Houston days. Just, you know, when expectations were really high, and they are in this game, he just hasn't delivered. So, no play for me.
I'm hoping that the betting public pushes this LSU number to 17. I feel like Mississippi State has got a little bit of value here. I think that's a pretty solid team. And LSU, while obviously they've got some good players coming back, they lost so much that it's almost impossible to not have some regression. And 17 in an opener, you know, it's widely publicized. Their coach said almost everybody on the team's had COVID at some point. I mean, is 16.5 good for you, or are you like me? You'd like to wait for that 17 if it's coming, and do you think it's coming?
Probably it's coming. I'm not anxious to bet the game. I did bet the over in an early number. I mean, I would have loved to fade LSU in the season opener. I mean, you could have named 10 or 12 teams in the SEC, and I'd have been right there with you. Giddy up, let's go and fade the defending national champ. But, I mean, Mississippi State's one of those rare exceptions where I just can't pull the trigger. Why? So much, you know, not a lot of experience there, and just such a drastic schematic change for them offensively, going to what they've been running the last 5-7 years to Mike Leach pass-happy offense with a transfer quarterback. Just not in my wheelhouse to go ahead and fire away at that one. If it went to 17.5, sure, why not to take a little bit of a flyer on Mississippi State? You might actually get it, but we'll see. But right now, no play.
Baylor, Kansas, another 17-point line. And Baylor, who had to skip out on last week's game against UH, Kansas with a pretty embarrassing loss to Coastal Carolina week one, and it wasn't like a fluke loss. They got dominated by Coastal Carolina. Now they're on the road. Do you think Baylor can name it here?
Oh, I mean, again, a first-year coach for Baylor, no spring practice, only two returning starters on defense, I should say, for the Bears. And COVID issues, massive COVID issues last week. They're the reason why the Houston game was canceled. Not willing to lay it here, even though they've covered 8 straight in the series over Kansas. I think 17 is a fair number. And I know I've been passing and meandering with a lot of leans here so far. I promise, guys, I did make a lot of bets this week in college football.
Well, let's get to the gym of the week. Well, maybe the gym of the week, at least on paper, at least the two highest profile teams playing each other, Florida State and Miami. A pretty big number for this matchup, 11. And again, we don't know a lot about what Florida State's going to look like. They're coming off a loss. Miami's 2-0, so they've got all the hype behind them. I kind of like this game to be a low-scoring game. 54 seems like a pretty big number for me, which also makes me kind of like the 11 points that you can get, or 11.5, some places 12, I think, with Florida State. And do you think I'm off base on this?
No, I don't want to lay it. I can tell you that. Just because, I mean, it's an underdog series. The underdog's 12-3 against the number. And again, the whole world talking about Miami, whole world throwing Florida State in the trash. A big rivalry game with still a lot of talent on the Seminoles. I know we've been saying it the last 3-4 years, and it hasn't been the case still. A lot of talent there, a lot of pride, and I certainly don't want to lay the double digits. I mean, if you gave me a $20 bill, it certainly would be on the underdog here. Also would be a lean towards the under. Even though Miami's really pushing the pace and the tempo offensively, and they looked really good last week, a lot of it's big plays. If Florida State can prevent the big play, and I think they have more athletes than, let's say, UAB or Louisville does, then I think under's okay there. Do worry about the Florida State offense. Just, hasn't made hardly any progression. Looked horrible against Georgia Tech. And now, basically, the offensive-minded head coach and Mike Norvell, I mean, has to sit it out due to COVID. So not a high-value pick for me, but dog and under look good right now.
One last one before we let you go. A&M 30.5 over Vanderbilt. Just seems like a ridiculous number for, you know, a team we don't know what they're going to look like. And, I mean, it's an awful lot of points for any SEC game.
Yeah, I lean with the dog here, even though I think Vanderbilt's a total mess. And I think, I mean, they'll be very hard-pressed to even win a game this year, Vanderbilt. But, man, big number, especially considering, I mean, the Aggies have seen 4 starters opt out, including their leading wide receiver. First thing that came to my mind is you got a 30-point spread and a total of, like, 47.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, at least I find this type of stuff fascinating. But since 1980, when you have a team laying 28 or more and the total is less than 50, the over is 62%. And we're talking about a 200-game sample size. If you tighten up the parameters and go 30 or more point favorite, total of 47 or less, the over is 68%. So maybe a little bit of lean on the over there due to that trend.
Yeah, that's something that I've been doing for a while, because a lot of times the favorite's going to get to the total by themselves whenever there's that big of a spread. And so you don't really need Vanderbilt to do much to get over 46. Brad,
all you need, yeah, especially if they can get a touchdown or something on the board, you should feel pretty good about that one.
All right, that's Brad Powers, bradpowersports.com. Follow him on Twitter at bradpowers7. Joins us every week. Great stuff as always, my man. We will talk to you again next week.
All right, take care, guys.
All right.
ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the virtual radio row for the Showtime pay-per-view Charlo doubleheader. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Getting back to, we talked about Wentz and stuff. Straight Pepper says, guys, it's a difference in cities. Philly is hard-nosed and they expect excellence. Houston is sports fan and media is soft. We make excuses. Philly is going to run Wentz out of town. But here in Houston, we make Watson the highest paid. I hate to break it to you. They paid Wentz to keep hanging banners. And I'll say this. East Coast cities have they have much better and much more passionate sports fans, especially cities with like ugly people that have no other life. Philly's kind of like that. But they're better sports cities. There's no question. But I kind of object to the media thing because I do think that there's a lot of people here who will actually go after the teams and demand excellence. I think that's what we've been doing for 3 days. The newspapers don't. I mean, I think that's they do in Philly. But I don't think it's I think it's kind of, you know, unless you're just listening to 610 all the time, I think it's lame to say that the media is not demanding here. And but that's okay. That's one of those myths that everybody's created. You know, you go there and there's a lot of yelling people.
Yeah,
and we got yellers here, too. Stay tuned. 7 o'clock, Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock. Guarantee you. All right, let's sneak in a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Well, how many times have you been to New York? Not just New York City, but...
I mean, I've never been to any part of New York besides the city.
So you've never been to Swastika, New York?
No. I've been to New York probably 5 times.
Okay. I've never been to Swastika either, but apparently...
Weren't you born there?
No. Trust me, those people don't like me either. Let's be honest. But it's in the Adirondack. It's located 50 miles from the Canadian border. Oh, geez.
Your people.
They voted to retain their name that predates Nazism. The 4-member board for the town of Blackbrook, which has the authority over the hamlet.
Wait, Swastika and Blackbrook are right next to each
other? Yes, yes. And they're keeping them both.
Ooh, imagine those football games.
They voted unanimously to keep the name.
So they predate Nazis?
Apparently, the swastika predated Nazis, according to this.
I mean, I kind of get it then, because that's tough if your name predates like whatever made the name awful.
Right, because it says the swastika was a common design element dating back centuries, but now it's indelibly linked to Nazism.
Yeah.
It's a tough call.
It is a tough call, but like sometimes there's something so awful that it's like, well we got to let that one go. Yeah,
because if I'm driving through there and I see a swastika, I'm pretty sure that they're all going, see Kyle, that the Fourth Reich is being born here. I'm going to judge you based on it. I'm sorry. I mean, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What are you going to think? Of course, I'm just some Southern feller driving through here. I'm sure you guys judge us when you see things, too. But yeah, so they voted to keep the name.
Well, I could see an argument for both sides. If the town were established in 1960, I would say no way. But since it predates Nazis, I'm gonna give them a pass here.
A friend of mine says the swastika is a Hindu symbol that the Nazis stole. Now, see, I'm all about Hindus. I think those are cool people.
Okay.
Nazis, not so much. So, I just think, though, but sometimes that's what happens. That things like that, they get appropriated and used the wrong way. And guess what? Like, what was a Beatles song that was famous because of Charles Manson.
Helter Skelter.
Helter Skelter. Yeah, he appropriated it. You'll never be able to listen to Helter Skelter again and not think, oh, dead people.
Yeah.
Especially if you listen to the Motley Crue version.
And Hindus are cool people, but they don't eat cows, so I'm never down with that.
Yeah, I like Hindus. I'm down with them. Not down with swastikas. If I had to.
I doubt it. You do Meatless Mondays. Do you still do that?
Yeah. Right now I'm not. I'm actually, because I'm on this stupid 1,800 calorie a day diet, I haven't had any meat for 2 days.
But meat's good, clean calories.
It is, but I'm also eating healthier. So
okay. Mm. So you're just eating salads and stuff?
No, I mean I'm having like mostly it's been salads and meal bars the last couple of days.
Hmm.
But it's got 8 pounds off doing that. So
well, good for you.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It's almost here. Well, of course, we're on Virtual Radio Row right now for the Charlo Brothers fights. That's right. Two epic fight cards. Jermall Charlo takes on Derevchenko, and Jermell takes on Rosario. It doesn't matter. You'll see them all Saturday night. That's right. Doubleheader live on Saturday night for the price of one pay-per-view. How about that? You're going to get 6 fights. 5 title fights. It's going to be an excellent, excellent night of boxing, and you're going to see some rare opportunities, a rare world title unification opportunity for Jermell Charlo as he takes on Jason Rosario to unify the division, see who the best 154 in the world is. And, of course, Jermall, who's undefeated, the middleweight champion, he's taking on Sergey Derevchenko. He's 6-0 in world title fights, 4 knockouts, looking for another one. But these are not pushover fights. These are going to be tough fights and probably some of the toughest fights of their career. Here's how you get the pay-per-view. You can order within the Showtime app or order online at Showtime.com, or you can do old school and contact your pay-per-view provider. Going to be a great time. The first pay-per-view card starts at 6 o'clock Central Time, and you can, of course, find out more details at Showtime.com.
Seven five.